Father in heaven, we are thankful for this day and for this opportunity to be in your house to worship and to praise. Father, we pray that this while we are gathered together, that you'd separate us from the cares of this life and from all those things that might draw our attention away from thee. And Father, just help us to see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And Father, give us of thy Holy Spirit that he would lead and, Father, direct this service, and that all things would be done according to your righteous will. We pray thy blessings upon these that have assembled, and pray that you'd richly bless each one. But we're mindful of those who cannot come to your house due to circumstances of life. We ask you to visit and touch and heal according to your will. But Father, just now I pray a blessing upon me as I try to preach your word. Bless this congregation to hear and to understand. And Father, just help us to be built up in the most holy faith and walk closer to thee. Forgive us our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I invite your attention to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, and read the first four verses to begin our study this morning. This is a passage that we studied a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like the Lord is leading me back to this subject and some of the lessons that are taught here. And this will be more or less just an introduction of a subject that I want to talk about. But I do trust that the Lord would lead and that we would receive his message. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, just to give some of the surrounding circumstances in this passage of Scripture, if you go back and trace the history of Israel and going back to the days that Joshua led Israel into the land of promise, and as long as the people followed Joshua, Joshua was following the Lord, so he always gave them victory. And if you read Scripture, you can never find any account of any soldier who followed Joshua dying in battle. There's just no record of that. In fact, you know, Israel went up against Ai, contrary to the Lord's will, and there was sin in the camp. There's no mention of Joshua anywhere in that account, so evidently he was not leading at that defeat. And there was no defeats as long as Israel followed Joshua. The Lord gave them great victories. But after Joshua died and after those of his generation died, Israel turned away from following the Lord. And they worshiped the gods of that land that they were supposed to have destroyed. And from time to time, the Lord would raise up a judge to deliver them from the oppressors and bring them back into a relationship with him. And if you plotted that on a graph, you could see it was just up, down, all through the history. And coming to the time of David, it's really not much different. Now, the Lord is blessing David. The Lord had anointed him king, and he had been anointed by Israel, and he was reigning over the united kingdom of Israel. The Lord was giving him victory over the enemies. But if you read those accounts carefully, there's not much said about how the people were worshiping God. And you go back, and this is the account of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. But you remember how in the days of Eli, and his sons had carried the Ark of the Covenant into battle, and they had in effect made an idol of that Ark, something that the Lord intended for the good of His people. But they wanted to bring it into the camp when they faced the Philistines so that it might save us. So they thought that was an object that would save them rather than recognizing that it was God who was represented by that ark that would save them. So the ark was captured, and you remember how God plagued the Philistines and they sent it back. It came to a place called Beth Shemesh and of Israel, and the Israelites there mishandled the Ark of the Covenant. They opened it up and looked into it, and God plagued them. And that community didn't want the Ark with them. So it wound up in the house of a man named Abinadab in Gibeah. And it was there for more than 20 years, and nobody evidently thought of bringing the Ark of the Covenant where God would have it. They had the tabernacle and the altar and all those things in a place called Gibeon, but the Ark of the Covenant was not there. So they were going up evidently to worship at Gibeon without the presence of God. And it could have been nothing more than just rituals if God's presence is not there. So up and down, and spirituality in David's day, again, although the Lord is blessing him, it seems to be at a low point. But if you follow that history, even to the New Testament church, you'll find that same thing. The Lord blesses, and for a time the people are zealous to serve the Lord. But then after a while, God blesses, and the people get to thinking, well, you know, we've got everything we need. And they turn away from God, and then they go down until God judges, and then he brings them back. So David's day was not much different from this day. But God stirred up the heart of David. He was the king, and he was ruling, and he had been victorious over his enemies, and yet the worship was not as he desired it to be, and he had a desire to bring that Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Now, I don't believe David simply wanted to make the worship more convenient for himself. In fact, I believe there's evidence that God directed him to do exactly as he did. And he brought that Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and as the scripture tells us here, they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. As we've already studied and noted, that in doing that, David established a new system of worship. It wasn't like it was under the law of Moses. Now, Israel soon reverted back to that worship under the law of Moses because God's time was not right for this David's kind of worship to be established. And then we have looked at the prophecy found in the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 9, I'll begin reading at the 8th verse. Again, Amos chapter 9 and verse 8. And I have previously mentioned these two scriptures that refer to the tabernacle of David were both given in times of judgment. Again, Israel had strayed away from the Lord, and God had judged them because of their sin. And yet, He encouraged those who would repent and turn back to Him. And He gave promises to them. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. And all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us." Now, notice this passage of Scripture, that God said, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, that say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. Now, God is not saying that all His people or all the sinners of His people are going to die by the sword, but all of those, in effect, who say, I don't believe what God's saying. I don't believe He'll really judge us. I don't believe all these things are going to come upon us. And that's exactly the ones who are going to die by the sword. Those who stiff-necked and hard hearts will not believe God. Now, verse 11. "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in days of old." So there's a promise that once again that tabernacle of David is going to be built up. You remember last Sunday we talked about Acts chapter 15, where James, when he had the report of God blessing the Gentiles, of the Holy Spirit coming down on the Gentiles, James said, that's the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, James did not expect a literal tent to be built up again. He wasn't looking for the Ark of the Covenant to come once again. That was just a type or a representation of Jesus Christ who had come in reality. So that was a figure. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that figure. The coming in of the Gentiles is evidence that Jesus Christ has come and is ruling on the throne of David, fulfilling all those prophecies. So it's a spiritual fulfillment. Now, in 1 Chronicles 16 again, we looked at how David appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord. That ministry was the singing of hymns of praise to God, singing those psalms, as the Word says, to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, I believe that the singing in the house of the Lord, singing in our worship service, is something that is of vital importance. And it's not to entertain us, and it's not to show off our abilities or anything of that nature. It is to praise God and to do exactly what David appointed those Levites to do. But I believe this is talking about something spiritual rather than the literal singing of song. David had a great desire to praise God, and he wanted others to join with him in praise because he loved the Lord. He saw His glory, and he wanted others to see that glory. So he appointed these Levites to sing these songs. But our life, the way we live every day, ought to be a song of praise to the Lord. I don't have much ability to sing literally, but I do believe I have the ability to live a life that praises God, just like those who are singing with their voice. So, yes, sing praise to God. Sing with your voice. Lift up your voice with joy, but live your life so that it is a song of praise unto God. Now, as we've seen, this prophecy of raising up the tabernacle of David was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And yet there are a number of times where there was revival in Israel. And when those times of revival and great blessings came from the Lord, they sang according to the commandment of David, according to that order that David set when he brought that Ark of the Covenant to that tent. I'm going to give you, Lord willing, just a couple of examples of that. First of all, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and again, you know, there's times that are up and down. Judah had some very wicked and idolatrous kings, but they had some good, faithful kings. Now, this, the divided kingdom, the northern kingdom, Israel, every single king that they had was idolatrous, every one of them. But in Judah, there was a few faithful kings, although none of them were perfect. And this is one of the more faithful kings, a man named Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and beginning at the first verse, it said, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand there is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?" So here's a great enemy coming before the people of God. Is that any different in our day? Isn't there a great multitude that comes against God's people? We're not under a literal open attack, but the things that we stand for and the things that we believed are ridiculed, and even officials in our government are seeking to destroy that witness. And we need to fear, but we need to seek God and to remember that He is the God of our fathers, the God in heaven, ruling over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and trust in His power. Verse 12, "O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones, and their wives, and their children. God's people all came together. And then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came in the spirit of the Lord and in the midst of the congregation. I point out the fact that he was one of those Levites, one appointed to sing in the temple. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. So God sent a message, and that message, this battle is not yours, but the Lord's. But you know, God commanded them to show up and stand before the enemy. There are battles that are far beyond us. They're in the hands of the Lord. And yet we as His people are to assemble ourselves and trust the Lord to overcome His enemies and our enemies. Now, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Jehoshaphat set the choir, after the order of David, before the army to march out and praise God. That's trusting in what God had promised. You know, they believed that the Lord was going to overcome the enemies, so they went forth to praise Him and to remember that His mercy endureth forever. So the Lord gave a great victory at that time. Another example we'll find in the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 29. And this involves King Hezekiah. And again, Hezekiah's father was one of those wicked kings and had pretty much done away with worshiping God. But God raised up Hezekiah to once again reestablish the worship as God intended. 2 Chronicles 29 and beginning at verse 23, And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them and made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar, and to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with the cymbals and psalteries and the harps according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seers and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. Now I pause there to note the fact Hezekiah set the choirs in the house of the Lord according to the order of the commandment of David. So once again, there's those who love the Lord and want His name to be praised, and they lift up their voice in praise. But notice, this was not simply David's idea, but it was according to Gad the king's seers and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by the prophets. The Lord commanded David to establish this order of worship. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and with the priests with the trumpets, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpet and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Verse 35, And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. For so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for this thing was done suddenly. God very suddenly stirred up the heart of Hezekiah, those singers, and all those who come to worship God, and there was a time of revival among the kingdom of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 21 speaks of Hezekiah. Well, let me read verse 20 and 21. Thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. As long as he served the God, served the Lord, did it from the heart as God directed, God prospered everything that he did. But he established again that order of worship according to the commandments of David. I could give other examples. I'm, for the sake of time, not going to. Josiah was another king who his father had been ungodly and abandoned the house of worship. He cleansed the temple and reestablished the Passover, and he reestablished the singing in the temple. Ezra, when returned from the captivity, and rebuilt the temple of the Lord. And he set those singers in the house according to the order of David. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem after returning from bondage. He set the singers in the house of the Lord. I hope you understand that this message is not about singing, but it's having a heart and a desire to sing praise unto God. It is filling our place. You know, David set those singers in order. They had a time and a place to show up and to sing praises. And when they showed up, the Lord blessed them. So we need to set our hearts and our affection upon God's house and upon praising God in this assembly of saints, to talk about how good the Lord is and what all He has done for us, to give Him thanks, and simply to praise His great and holy name. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 16, and I'll close by reading beginning at verse 7. I'm just going to select some verses here. So 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seeketh the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servants, O ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Verse 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation, declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among the nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord God made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let us praise the Lord after the manner of David, according to the pattern of David, with a true desire to honor and glorify Him. And that's my prayer for Christ's sake.